committee come to order.
Early.
Monday, thank you, May 28th, in the resources room. The time is 8:32. We have two items on the agenda, Senate Bill 186, an act relating to named recipient grants and providing for effective date, and House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 376, third finance, an act relating to power cost assistance and providing for effective date. I'd like to have a motion to adopt House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 186.
Right, 186.
186.
Chairman Speaker, Senate Bill 470 is on the calendar today. We're not meeting on it here.
Members present are Speaker Hayes, Representative Miller Juno, Representative Liska, Representative Phillips, and members absent are Barnes and Tischer. I entertain that motion now.
Chairman
Speaker,
move that we adopt the House Rules Committee substitute Senate Bill 186.
Hearing no objection. I'm going to ask Mike Scott from Senator Ferguson's office to walk us through the Section 1 and Section 2 rather than me read the thing. And you can stop him at any time you wish and ask questions. Would you identify yourself, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mike Scott. I'm the Senator from Ferguson. Senator 186, the Rules Committee substitute is final. That's basically the intent of the bill. 3 years ago, the Hammond administration had specifically requested the legislature to put under name recipient grants that all of these shall go out to competitive bid. Prior to that, the legislature had specifically named recipients for funds to go directly to them. So there was a clash of, the legislature did enact it, but did take the governor to court in a case, legislature versus Hammond. Legislature prevailed on this point. The Supreme Court ruled that the legislature was well within its authority to directly appropriate funds to specific name recipients. So the purpose of this bill is to get us back to where we were 4 years ago and build one such a prison back to appropriate funds directly to name recipients. In this case, in section A, or subsection A, there's just a technical one changing from which to that. B, yeah, on page 1, on line 12, just change that technically. Which to that.
Oh, I see.
On page 1, line 18 and 19, we do specify that this, for the purposes of B, which is competitive bidding requirements, that the rural areas of the defined as areas 44, 47, 5, 65 would be exempt from this requirement.
Which requirement?
The competitive bidding requirement. Section C, D, E, F, and G. C is a technical one represented in this section. D, E, F, and G are all new ones that we put in to sort of tighten up the grantees and how they do this.
Speaker Hayes.
On the, going back to the page 1 paragraph, why are we exempting the rural area from the competitive bid? That's the bottom line.
Originally, our bill was going to be from the Senate and went to the Senate floor. It was to cover it statewide. We felt that was the rule of the legislature 4 years ago, the Hammond administration, virtually forced the legislature to pass this law. When it got to the House and Senate floor, Senator Ray indicated that it may not be a good idea to put the urban areas in. So we agreed and left it simply as a rule. But our original bill didn't.
Representative Phillips.
Who's the which department administering the CIA? Administration.
Twofold. It'll be the department that is appropriated the funds to contract with the administration, say if it's a health and social service instead of F. Mm-hmm. And then admin would look at that as more sort of internal control. So on the name recipients basically have two departments.
CRA is included in this, or just?
CRA, HEP, DEC, DNR.
But administration's the one that handles the paperwork, right? And now, does the, current administration support this, concept?
Yes, there should be a position paper in your files, from the Department of Community Regional Affairs, the program.
It is not in here, that's why I'm asking.
Yes, yes.
So also the Department of Administration?
Department of Administration didn't submit, anything on it, because they're a little secondary.
Right.
Also, we should point out that we have, in fact, included two auditors, in there as far as the budget.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman, I, just want to say that I supported this legislation, and still do. I wasn't a little bit afraid of putting a cloud over the dog on thing, and maybe at the last minute screwing up the whole work, I suggest we go back to the original bill, which was sent forward, because I'm just going to have to do the right of the legislature to designate. I mean, if I can get 21 people in the House and other people in the Senate to, agree to appropriate money to XYZ nonprofit corporation, seems to me like the appropriation to go to XYZ nonprofit corporation. But I guess at this late stage, the night metal is muddy waters, if there is no people in the Senate. Rural areas, I mean, urban areas are continuing to travel to our selection, I sure don't see the budget.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Speaker Hayes?
Is that the way it would work, is that you would name the recipient, that would be, this is like it used to be. Well, I figured it would have to be named, I mean, you'd have to designate.
You know, which nonprofit.
Yeah.
This would be the case when they commit written on rural areas, they would name, yeah, the nonprofit, however, our urban areas, they would have to go out and competitive bid.
Well, in the urban area, Mr. Scott, correct me if I'm right, I mean, if I'm wrong, we can name them, I think, but the, under the legislation we passed, and maybe it's incorporated in here, I'm not sure, the administration has the right to go in and put it out competitive bid anyway. So it's, sort of, probably 99 times, or at least 90 times, out of 100. First, the agency we name will probably get it, but, there's no guarantee of it, and, so it's, you know, it's not a disaster situation, that's why I'm not looking for switching.
Is that discretion?
No, that's correct, in fact, that even points something with the reason, an additional reason why we wanted to go, because to get away from that extra bureaucratic hurdle, because we knew that, you know, in a majority of the cases, it was in fact going to that recipient, but it placed another hurdle in that way, and so it delayed the effective date, delayed the service payment, and left it in a, it was just an extra hurdle that was found really unnecessary and costly.
Thank you. Let the record reflect that Representative Barnes has joined us. Are there any further questions from,
I wonder why we have this completely specified nonprofit corporation. I don't get that. I can show you where a profit organization can save the state more money than a nonprofit organization. But why are we emphasizing nonprofit? There has to be a reason for it for the world. Could you explain that?
Yes, sir. Basically, there are three types of grants. There are municipal grants, named recipient grants, and unincorporated community grants. The named recipient grants have historically always been based for the nonprofit. What we're trying to do in this case is to legitimize the nonprofit. We've had sort of fly-by-night operations sort of spring up, you know, when the state's revenues sprung up, and we had no way to sort of control the growth of these organizations and the legitimacy of them. So we specify that they must be a nonprofit according to the IRS tax code, which does give them some form of legitimacy. And that's really our intent.
Right. Any further questions? Shall the Rules Committee adopt House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 186 rules with individual recommendations? Are there any objections? Representative Hayes.
Chairman, I move that we adopt the House Rules Committee substitute Senate Bill 186 for the recommendation.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, so adopted. Just stay right there, Mr. Scott. And, the next bill on the agenda is House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 376. I'll ask for a motion to adopt it so we can have it before us.
Chairman, so moved. Well, I better think that.
That's all right.
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent to have the Senate Bill number 376 rule on act relating to prior cost assistance and providing an effective date be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, so moved. Mr. Scott, you can just walk us through this one, too, as you did the last one.
Okay. Essentially, the bill that passed out of finance and the rules, I'll cover those changes first. The first one was we deleted the section that dealt with adding a penny W to the floor and the ceiling of the program. We removed that section entirely. The second one was that under the definition of utility, we clarified a section or a sentence that said that utility must meet certain standards, we said during calendar year 1984. Those are two basic changes from the finance version to the rules version. Would you like to go through section by section?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Section one, the purpose statement reflects that the fund should be used to equalize the power rates throughout the state. B, there's no change from existing law. C, on page 1 through 2, increases from 55 to 70 and from 600 to 650, the monthly allowable KW to receive equalization. Anything over those amounts, the consumer pays the full freight or the full cost of the retail electricity. D,
question.
Yes. What's the average use of power in the rural area? 250 seems to be a lot, but I tell personally I only use about 500
right.
In an urban area.
Right.
I know the average is 5 and 750, I believe, in the urban area.
Yeah, in the rural areas overall, the average is just under 400 kW. What we're trying to do by raising the kW limit is to capture the other end, say, of that consumption market that still pays the high rate and generally have a family, they're generally middle income, but there are those people in the rural areas who do have a washer and a dryer, who do have a dishwasher, that do consume those things, so we're trying to help those people who are still paying a pretty high rate. That's the real purpose.
Continue, Mr. Scott.
And then D is basically the operative section. We've placed a floor of 8.5 cents per kilowatt hour with a ceiling of 52.5. It's here that we deleted the section talking about the penny per kW on the ceiling and the floor. We eliminated that section.
8.5, is that the average for Anchorage? Or is
no.
That the average for Anchorage Fairbanks?
No, originally we were at 6.4 cents per kW. This is a compromise number. It was one that we're comfortable with and think it's workable. The base of the mean between Anchorage Fairbanks and Juneau is approximately 6.4 using the residential rate. Yeah, Anchorage is the. Generators produce more than 75% of their electrical consumption. water utilities in the state that don't sit there that have hydro, but do have backup for diesel generation.
Question.
In some of the rural areas, do you guys have what is called an energy charge? Flat, first, okay, I'll just give you an example, like MEA charges a flat rate of $15 out off the top. First of all, before you get into the same amount of lights. I think MEA's got uniquely. Do they have that $15 energy charge up there?
I would assume they do. I specifically, I haven't talked to the utility about that, but I would assume because they do fall under MEA's jurisdiction, they would probably have the same rate structure just for the subsidy.
What about the other rural communities? They have a flat rate energy charge for
snowboarding. I can address specifically cost more. I know we don't know. Certainly a KW usage, then we have a fuel surcharge, then we have a city tax. That basically charge level, and that's pretty standard. But it does have variances throughout the state. You know, some have some set rates for their residential, some have for just their commercial. So. And section O, on page 7, starting line 11, would allow for those communities who would otherwise be eligible to petition APC if they 25% of the utility customers petition for service for ordering. And no other changes than the last change on page 11 in section 4, the effective date is October 1st, 1984. We changed it from July 1st, 84. We found that Kodiak was a problem. Their hydro won't be online until sometime in September, and since Kodiak is part of the program, so it was necessary to keep them on until they put the switch on hydro.
I know what this bill is trying to do is to, you know, quote unquote, equalize the energy costs between the urban areas and the rural areas. But why are we pursuing this? Why aren't we, general question, why aren't we building smaller dams or using alternative energy for the rural area?
Very good question. We've, for the last 5 years, since the revenue did go on the increase, we have tried every alternative you could imagine. We've done biomass. We've done hydro, we've done windmills, we've done geothermal, we've done peat, we've done just about everything. In fact, we still have demonstrations going on. There was a report that came out recently that we'd asked the administration to take a look at some alternatives, thinking maybe we had to come up with the proper one. And they came back to us and said, basically, for the next 10 to 20 years, we really have no alternative than the diesel fired generator. Nothing will act as a primary source of electricity for us. There are some possibilities now, sort of underground hydro. That's the latest one that we're kind of working on. But our problem is that our stream flows just aren't sufficient enough when so much of it freezes that we just don't have the stream flows underneath that you would say in other places. So we're still going ahead with alternative things, but we think comes the realization it's going to be several years enough before we make it a practical alternative, complete alternative to people's generation.
Let's say if the putting the dam is built, what can you guys tap into that?
Yes, and we've been since the start of the session been speaking to that. Should the Watonna come online as well as the other dams in the last of power program, we would anticipate that about a penny surcharge would be added to those, so therefore the rural energy needs could be met since we won't be able to really access the power development site, which we use to build the hydro project. It's using that as a source of sort of long-term stabilization of energy rates. And that way we spread the use of state dollars statewide as opposed to just certain areas of the state. And that's really what the governor's energy program is aimed at doing, but I think it needs to be fine-tuned.
So it's not an impossible task.
No.
Representative Miller.
Were you saying that the rural areas would actually use Watonna power, or that
money generated from Montana Power.
Oh, would be used to do it.
Yeah, revenue generated from would be used for that.
That's a brand new regulation to me.
Oh, no.
Well, that was the question I asked.
Yeah, oh, no, the answer is no.
No, they told us that for just the transmission line, we're looking at over $1 million a mile. And there's no way.
Representative Liska was next.
Yeah, that's my question, I expect.
Representative Barnes?
Well, isn't it a fact though that because of Susitna being located where it is, that large numbers of people up in here, all keep now those areas, to certainly use the cars that have been there?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we've over the past 30 years have come to the conclusion.
And other developing areas.
Yeah, I think.
If you consider Southeast.
So, obviously, Mr. Chairman, we see all of these as components of an overall program and don't favor one over another or disfavor one over another. We think that certain areas need to take advantage of their resources. And if we can do the advantage of the entire state,
wait, let's turn it. So you're saying that we cannot hook into the Susitna or any major project that are either under construction or will be or hopefully will be because of the cost is so great that it's not cost effective to get the electricity out to the road.
We couldn't tap in directly, but I think the way we would tap in would be indirectly. I think that's the concept we put forward from the start, that that's how we could have the entire state take advantage of these projects and make it a statewide benefit.
Are there any further questions, Speaker Hayes?
I think we're sure I move this.
All right.
What sections in this bill relate to this?
Representative Hayes, thank you.
If there are no other questions or people to testify, I'd like to make a motion to move this out of committee to the doctor for the individual.
With individual recommendations, are there any objections? Hearing none, so moved. Thank you, Mr.